Paramartha uttama shlokam. Tantu tanvan petrinyajet. Rakshakama punyajanan. Ojaskamo madhudganan.
One should worship Lord Vishnu or his devotee for spiritual advancement in knowledge and for protection of heredity and advancement of a dynasty. One should worship the various demigods purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The path of religion entails making progress in the path of spiritual advancement, ultimately reviving the eternal relation with Lord Vishnu in his impersonal effulgence. His localized Paramatma feature, and ultimately his personal feature, by spiritual advancement and knowledge. And one who wants to establish a good dynasty and be happy in the progress of temporary bodily relations should take shelter of the Pitas and the demigods and other highest planets. Such different classes of worshippers of different demigods may ultimately reach the respective planets of those demigods within the universe. But he who reaches the spiritual planets in the Brahma Jyoti achieves the highest perfection.
Devan Nirtim Tvabi Charan Yajet Kama kamo yajet samam akama purusham param. One who desires domination over a kingdom or an empire should worship the Manus. One who desires victory over an enemy should worship the demons. And one who desires sense gratification should worship the moon. But one who desires nothing of material enjoyment should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. For a liberated person, all the enjoyments listed above are considered to be absolutely useless. Only those who are conditioned by the material modes of external energy are captivated by different types of material enjoyment. In other words, the transcendentalist has no material desires to be fulfilled, whereas the materialist has all types of desires to be fulfilled. The Lord has proclaimed that the materialists who desire material enjoyment and thus seek the favor of different demigods, as above mentioned, are not in control of their senses and so give themselves to nonsense. One should therefore not desire any sort of material enjoyment, being sensible enough to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The leaders of nonsensical persons are still more nonsensical because they preach openly and foolishly that one can worship any form of demigod and get the same result. This sort of preaching is not only against the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita or those of the Srimad Bhagavatam, but is also foolish, just as it is foolish to claim that with the purchase of any travel ticket, one may reach the same destination. No one can reach Bombay from Delhi by purchasing a ticket to Baroda. It is clearly defined herein that persons impregnated with different desires have different modes of worship. But one who has no desire for material enjoyment should worship the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead. And this worshiping process is called devotional service. Pure devotional service means service to the Lord without any tinge of material desires, including desire for fruitive activity and empiric speculation. For fulfillment of material desires, one may worship the Supreme Lord, but the result of such worship is different,
as will be explained in the next verse. Generally, the Lord does not fulfill anyone's material desires for sense enjoyment, but he awards such benedictions to worshipers of the Lord. For they ultimately come to the point of not desiring material enjoyment. The conclusion is that one must minimize the desires for material enjoyment, and for this one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is described here as param, or beyond anything material. Shripad Shankaracharya has also stated, Narayana paro vyaktat, the Supreme Lord is beyond the material encirclement. Have kirtan for 3 minutes. I'll be right back. This is Chen. The chapter we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, is entitled Pure Devotional Service. In this chapter, Srila Shukadeva Goswami at great length is explaining how various material benefits can be achieved by worshipping particular demigods. The Vedic literatures explain very scientifically exactly what is the spiritual world as well as the material world, and how it is functioning, and why it is functioning, and how by living in this material world, whatever our ambitions are, they can be fulfilled by following the Vedic authority. Although Krishna explains in Gita that kamaisthaisthairhittigyana prabhadyante nyadevata tam tam niyamamashtaya prakritaniyatashvaya, people who are less intelligent, they worship the devatas. The reason is that they desire sense enjoyment. And such objects of sense enjoyment, even when they are attained after great yajna, perhaps great tapasya, they are temporary by nature. And Krishna explains that whatever is temporary is a source of misery. And therefore, a wise person does not strive for the temporary objects of misery. What tastes like nectar at the beginning tastes like poison at the end. The worshippers of the demigods often, they taste the poison of so much charity, so much yajna, so much tapasya, just to get the so-called nectar, which tastes like poison in the end. And the materialists too, they have to work so hard day and night just to survive. And the more they get, the more they have to struggle to maintain. In this way, the hard struggle of existence, which is situated in endless complexities, just consumes the majority of our entire life. And this materialistic society around us is so strong in its propaganda that it is convincing practically the whole world that this is really what will make us happy. Even sometimes we find devotees, even our young people, they're brought up with the greatest gift of Krishna consciousness, but they're thinking that if I had money, if I had independence, if I had a nice home, if I had a nice car, then I would be really happy, because this is what so many people have and this is what I want. Maya is very, very strong. And her influence of trying to divert our attention toward the sources of death is very powerful. Unless one is protected by extremely strong association
one will certainly fall victim to this miscalculation, that sense enjoyment and the objects which give us sense enjoyment will give us happiness and will give us a success in life. But Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explaining in this beautiful chapter, Pure Devotional Service, the difference between what you achieve by worshipping Krishna for devotional service and what you achieve by worshipping the various demigods for various types of material benefits. So in order to understand properly what is the glory of pure devotional service, Shukadeva Goswami wants to compare it to the various forms of religion based on these lesser principles. And in this beautiful verses we are reading today, Shukadeva Goswami explains that the goal of life is to desire nothing of material enjoyment. And to attain that stage can only come by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By worshipping any of the demigods, whoever they may be, you cannot achieve freedom from the desire for material enjoyment. But Krishna is Hari. He steals away that very false ego from the very core of our heart. And therefore, devotees who have attained this stage, they are satisfied in any situation. They do not long for anything that they do not have. They do not lament for anything that they lose, because they are self-satisfied. That is the condition, the natural condition of a devotee. And therefore, they are always engaged in the Lord's service. There's a beautiful example in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in this regard. After Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, he himself demonstrated how one can be completely satisfied giving up all the things of the world if one is simply immersed in chanting the holy name of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had, after he went to Bangladesh and he liberated Tapan Mishra, the people there gave him a lot of wealth. And he came back to Navadweep, and he also defeated the Keshava Kashmiri, the greatest pundit. So in this, and this materialistic society around us is so strong in its propaganda that it is convincing practically the whole world that this is really what will make us happy. Even sometimes we find devotees, even our young people, they're brought up with the greatest gift of Krishna consciousness, but they're thinking that if I had money, if I had independence, if I had a nice home, if I had a nice car, then I would be really happy, because this is what so many people have and this is what I want. Maya is very, very strong, and her influence of trying to divert our attention toward the sources of death is very powerful, unless one is protected by extremely strong association. One will certainly fall victim to this miscalculation, that sense enjoyment and the objects which give us sense enjoyment will give us happiness and will give us a success in life. But Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explaining in this beautiful chapter, Pure Devotional Service, the difference between what you achieve by worshipping Krishna for devotional service and what you achieve by worshipping the various demigods for various types of material benefits. So in order to understand properly what is the glory of pure devotional service, Shukadeva Goswami wants to compare it to the various forms of religion based on these lesser principles. And in this beautiful verses we are reading today, Shukadeva Goswami explains that the goal of life is to desire nothing of material enjoyment. And to attain that stage can only come by worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By worshiping any of the demigods, whoever they may be, you cannot achieve freedom from the desire for material enjoyment. But Krishna is Hari. He steals away that very false ego from the very core of our heart. And therefore, devotees who have attained this stage, they are satisfied in any situation. They do not long for anything that they do not have. They do not lament for anything that they lose, because they are self-satisfied. That is the condition, the natural condition of a devotee. And therefore, they are always engaged in the Lord's service. There's a beautiful example in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in this regard. After Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, he himself demonstrated how one can be completely satisfied giving up all the things of the world if one is simply immersed in chanting the holy name of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had, after he went to Bangladesh and he liberated Tapan Mishra, the people there gave him a lot of wealth. And he came back to Navadweep, and he also defeated the Keshava Kashmiri, the greatest pundit. So in this way, he had many students, he had much fame, he was starting to be given much, much wealth. He had a beautiful young wife, a loving mother, so many friends. But in order to give others Krishna consciousness, he left it all. And after he left it all, he was simply satisfied chanting the holy names of Krishna. Because everything is in Krishna's name. All wealth, all beauty, all knowledge, all strength, all fame, all renunciation, all the six opulences that give people pleasure and attract people's hearts are all in their full in Krishna. And Krishna is not different than his name. Therefore, all satisfaction can be experienced by one who chants the holy name of the Lord offenselessly, who chants with sincere devotion. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as a sannyasi, he traveled to many places. Srivas Thakur lived in Navadweep with his brothers, but after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, it was unbearable for him to remain in Navadweep. So he returned to his native place with his brothers. The name of that place was Kumarahatta. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to visit Srivas there. And when he came to Srivas's house, Srivas was simply immersed in ecstatic bliss to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once again. He offered his most prostrated obeisances, and then he embraced the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga and began to cry. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, experiencing the love of his devotees, bathed Srivas in his own tears of love. And Srivas went and brought the nicest possible seat for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to sit upon and began to offer prayers and worship him with so much devotion. And then many devotees began to come to meet Lord Chaitanya. One of them was Vasudev Dutt. This was actually the time when Lord Chaitanya was exclaiming to everyone the glories of Vasudev Dutt. Vasudev Dutt was such a devotee. He saw the good qualities in everyone. He never found fault in anyone. He was always merciful and compassionate to all living beings, always willing to serve and sacrifice his very life to help others become Krishna conscious. And he fell at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, and he began to cry. And it is describing that when he cried, it was so sincere that even wood and stone would melt upon hearing him cry. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he embraced him, and Lord Chaitanya began to cry, and he exclaimed to everyone that Vasudev Dat, he is so dear to me that my body is his property. I belong to Vasudev Dat. Anywhere he wants to sell me, I am sold. He is such a loving devotee. And in this way, Lord Chaitanya showed how he is always subordinate to the compassion and the love that is manifested by his pure devotees. And also, Acharya Purandar came, and Lord Chaitanya saw him and cried out, "Oh, my father." So it was a great, great reunion. And Lord Chaitanya was looking around at Srivas's house, and he asked Srivas that, "How do you maintain your family?" This is a very important story. If you are sleeping, please rise. Srivas and his brothers, especially Ramai Pandit, they never left their house. All day long, they simply did two things. They had Sankirtan, where everyone was dancing in ecstasy and very loudly chanting the holy names. And they would, with great, great attention, they would narrate Srimad Bhagavatam and hear the glories of the Bhagavat. So this was practically day and night. Srivas and his brothers were just having Sankirtan and studying Srimad Bhagavatam. So Lord Chaitanya asked, "How do you maintain your family financially?" Srivas Thakur replied, that I am simply depending on the mercy of the Lord. There is no need for any endeavors to maintain my family. And Lord Chaitanya said, "But you have a big family." Actually, Srivas had a bigger family than any of you. He had five brothers. There were five brothers, wives, children. "You have a big family. Where do you get food? You have to get food from somewhere." And Srivas Thakur replied that if it is the will of destiny, food will come. And Lord Chaitanya replied that if you're going to speak like this, Srivas, you should take sannyas. And Srivas replied, "I have no power to take sannyas." And Lord Chaitanya inquired, "How is this possible? You have to eat, you have to feed your family. In order to do this, you have to go out. If you're not a sannyasi, you have to at least go out to beg alms. If you're not going to work, at least you have to go out to beg alms to bring something back to your family. What will happen if no food comes to your house? Tell me, Srivas, give me an answer. What will happen to your family if no food comes to your house?" And Srivas replied, 1, 2, 3. And Lord Chaitanya looked at him. He said, "What?" And Srivas said, "This is my answer. 1, 2, 3. He clapped his hands 3 times. And Lord Chaitanya was very puzzled. He said, "What does 1, 2, 3 mean?"
explain, what is this 1, 2, 3?
And Shriva said, if 3 times the Lord does not bring me food to my house, when I'm chanting his name and hearing his glories, then I will tie a rope around a pot and put that rope around my neck, and I will go and drown myself in the Ganges. If the Lord 3 times does not feed me and my family, if I am chanting his holy name. And when Lord Chaitanya heard this, he began to roar in ecstatic love. He said, this is the faith and the devotion of Srivastava. He said, I declare and I promise to you, Srivas, even if the goddess of fortune becomes poverty-stricken and has to go door to door begging alms, there will always be sufficient food in your house. Lord Chaitanya said, Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana pariyupashate tesham nityad bayuktanam yogakshemam dahamyaham. He said, my devotee, because he is sincerely surrendering to me with devotion, I will preserve what he has and I will carry what he lacks. Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyashim namaskuru mami vaishashi satyam te. Mami vaishashi satyam te prati jani yoshime. The Lord said, because he is always remembering me, always worshipping me, I will always protect my devotee. I will always provide for my devotee. My Sudarshan Chakra is always there and in all directions protecting my devotee. If my devotee surrenders to me, if he has no means of sustenance, I will personally come and serve my devotee and give him everything he needs. In this way, he was praising the complete faith and detachment of Srivast Thakur, who was actually considered in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya the ideal grihastha. He perfectly took care of his family. There is that beautiful story. During Navadvip Leela, years before, when they were having wonderful sankirtan in the house of Srivast in the night, and Srivas's son, he contracted a fever, and during the kirtan, he died. And the ladies in another room were weeping, and Srivas could understand something has happened. He went back, he found his son dead, small child. He said to the ladies, don't cry so loud, stop this crying. It will interrupt the sweet mood of ecstasy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during his dancing. And then he began to explain that our son is so fortunate. If only I could get such a benediction as he. This child have left its body when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is right close by in the very house. And he has left hearing the beautiful sound of Lord Gauranga's devotees chanting the holy names very loudly. This is a great fortune. Why you are weeping? Our son has achieved the ultimate goal of life. And then Srivas, after he told all the ladies to be quiet, he went back into the kirtan. And when he saw Lord Chaitanya ecstatically chanting and dancing, Srivas, with such bliss, just began dancing in ecstasy and chanting the holy names. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued the kirtan with his devotees throughout the night, and toward the end of the night, when the sun was soon to rise,
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt that there was something different in the atmosphere. So he inquired, "I feel that there is some sadness somewhere. Has something happened?" And Srivas replied, "My lord, with you chanting and dancing in my house, everything is completely auspicious." And then one of the devotees said to Lord Chaitanya that some hours ago, Srivas Pandit's son died. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very much surprised to hear this. This is his leela, to appear surprised. And he went to the room where the dead son was lying, and he said to Srivas, "Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you inform me that your son had died? The son is the most dear thing to a father." And Srivas said, "My lord, your pleasure of dancing in ecstasy and kirtan is the most important and significant of all things. And I did not want to disturb your mood of transcendental love." When Lord Chaitanya heard this, that Srivas put aside his own anguish for the loss of his son simply to give pleasure to the Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to weep. He began to cry tears of ecstatic love. And as he was weeping, he said, "How can I ever give up this Srivas Pandit? That Srivas, for my sake, for my pleasure, for my service, has even put aside his own attachment to the dearest thing of a man's life, his son." Why was Lord Chaitanya crying? He was saying, "How could I give up such a devotee as Srivas?" Because Lord Chaitanya knew that he would soon be taking sannyas, and he would leave Navadvip, and he would have to leave Srivas and all of his associates. Seeing the love of Srivas, he was weeping, "How could I give up such a devotee?" And then he said to Srivas Thakur, "You may have lost one son, but today I claim to you that Nityananda Prabhu and I are now your sons." And all the devotees began to chant, "Harivo, Harivo!" And Srivas Thakur was very happy. He was very ecstatic. And then Lord Chaitanya went to that son, and he inquired from the dead body, "Why have you left Srivas's house?" And then the little boy got up from his dead. He raised from the dead. And he began to speak transcendental knowledge. He said, "This is all your will, my lord. I have performed whatever duties I was meant to perform in this particular life. And now, by your sweet will, you have called me. You have called me back to the spiritual world. You have called me to serve you in another place. I had the great, great fortune of living for some time in the house of this great Vaishnava Srivas, but now you are calling me to another place. So I must go by your will. I am surrendered to you. I beg the benediction that wherever you want me to serve, I will serve, and that I never forget your lotus feet." And when all the devotees and all the family members heard the child speak, they were all immersed in great happiness. And then the son lay down, and again his soul departed from that body. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself joined the procession for the funeral. They had kirtan on a palanquin, carrying the child to the Ganga, and the last rites were performed, And then the Lord and all of his devotees took their baths in the Ganges after the formalities and the rituals for the body were complete. And as they left the Ganges, Srivas, all of his family members, and all the devotees were simply immersed in ecstatic love. So on this day in Kumarahata, where Srivas explained how he maintained his family, simply by chanting kirtan and reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased, so pleased. He began to glorify Srivas. And then he spoke to Ramai Pandit. He said that, "You are very dear to me. My desire for you is you always serve your older brother, Srivas Thakur. Never give up the service of this great Vaishnava. And because you are always serving Srivas, you are the most dear to me." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to show that if we are properly serving those devotees who have given up all material conceptions with faith and devotion in his lotus feet, that is the greatest service in all of creation, to serve such devotees. Shukadeva Goswami in this beautiful verse is explaining that what we should be really praying for, the real conclusion of the Bhagavatam, is not how to acquire more and more and more material necessities of life for material enjoyment, or prestige, or power, or dominion, or any of these things, but we should only be praying to be free from all these desires. Our only desire should be to give pleasure to Krishna. We saw in this very nice film last night that Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu has so painstakingly given his so many months to produce. We saw how Srila Prabhupada, how he was so simple and so pure and without any material desires, and yet how he, by his great service, he created hundreds of temples, beautiful palaces and castles and wonderful, wonderful complexes all over the world, in Europe, in America, in India. So one may think, how is it that he had so many devotees doing so many things and raising so many funds? What was Prabhupada's? He was simply chanting Hare Krishna. He came to America with only a few rupees, less than $8. All he had was a few books. That's how he came to America. Didn't even have enough money to pay rent for 1 week anywhere in America if he had to do so. And when he got that storefront after a year of struggling, at 26 Second Avenue, some well-wishers came forward to pay the first month's rent, but they frankly said to Srila Prabhupada that we will not be able to help you next month. We don't know how you will get the next month's rent. Srila Prabhupada just had complete faith in Krishna. And when he came back to Bombay, I remember there's one beautiful talk where he's explaining in a lecture. He's saying, "I went to America with something like 30 rupees. He said, now, he said, our devotees, he said, we are collecting so many lakhs every day. Huh? And we are not even making any material arrangements. We are just doing the service of the Lord. So many temples, so many properties, so many wonderful millions of books being distributed. Because he was using it all for Krishna's service." Srila Rupa Goswami explains, "Prapanchakatiya budya hari sambandhi vashtana mamokshami parityago vairagam phalgu katyate." That the perfection of renunciation is to utilize everything in Krishna's service. To not desire anything for our own sense gratification.
That is the essence of renunciation. And that is what Srila Prabhupada taught us by his own example. And that is what Srivas Thakur taught us by his own example. And that is what Shukadev Goswami taught us by his own example. And that is what Maharaj Parikshit also has given us, this understanding. The greatest wealth is bhakti, premanidhi. The greatest wealth is love of God. And we should somehow or other achieve that wealth in our life. But we cannot achieve that wealth as long as our hearts are attached or faithful to anything of this world. Bhishma Dev explained, real love means exclusive focus of one's life's energies to the pleasure of one object, and that is Krishna. And to have that same affection for anything in relationship to Krishna, anything that's favorable to our service to Krishna. And it is that love that we should strive for. It is that ecstatic experience that Srimad Bhagavatam is glorifying. And it is only Krishna that can give that. So therefore, we are not concerned with worshipping various demigods for various material facilities. Although Shukadev Goswami tells us the secret of success in material life, he's telling us in the previous verse yesterday, a whole list of every kind of type of material acquisition you could possibly want and how to get it. The scientific, sure, foolproof process of achieving anything in this world. But then at the end, he explains, it's all a waste of time. If you want something that is real, you should worship Krishna and achieve love for him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us by his personal example and through his devotees how to achieve that love by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam every day, by associating in a mood of service with his devotees, and by coming together to chant the holy names of the Lord. And in this way, always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Thank you very much. Is there any questions? Yes?
Maharaj, after hearing the pastime of Srivas Thakur.
Srivas said, 1, 2, 3, that's all. Yes?
Does it really mean that when we are struggling to make a living, does it mean that we don't have faith in the process? Do you mean that way? Can we think this way?
It means you are not on the level of Srivas Thakur. We cannot artificially imitate. Grihasthas cannot artificially imitate Srivas Thakur as sannyasis cannot imitate Raghunath Das Goswami. But we should understand that that is the standard that we should be worshipping and looking up to. And we should be trying our very best to gradually come to that standard. We should follow the spirit. Brahmacharis and sannyasis should follow in the footsteps of the spirit of Raghunath Das Goswami. And grihasthas should also follow that spirit. We may have to do the needful, but we should not be attached to these things. We should not depend on these things. We should not so much endeavor for these things that it seriously distracts our mind from our satsang or sadhana. That is the spirit. Does that answer your question?
Any other question? Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.